We're so thankful for Brother Maine being with us. Amen. We want you to keep praying. I want you to pray for his grandmother-in-law. Amen. We're believing the Lord to touch her body. She has a tumor. They're going to be removing that. And we want you to pray for them that God would bless. Amen. Hopefully you get to meet Sister Maine pretty soon. But we're honored tonight just to come, amen, to the King's house tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. To eat king food and sit with the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts this evening. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the man. We want you to come.
Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus tonight? Come on, if you haven't done so tonight, why don't you lift your voice to him? God, we magnify you tonight. You are worthy. Come on, if you're bodily able and you hadn't, why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you honor the King tonight? Hallelujah! Come on, lift your voice to him one more time. God, we rejoice in you. God, we magnify you. Come on, how many of you are thankful for the Holy Ghost? Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, I love serving Jesus. There's nothing like being in his presence, and I am sure thankful to know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God speaks clearly. My God's not a God of confusion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm thankful tonight to know that the Holy Ghost is still real.
Amen.
I'm thankful to know that it's just as real as it was the day that I went and he baptized me in the Holy Ghost. He pulled me out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to the name. I'm thankful that it's just as real. I'm thankful that we serve a God that his power, it does not diminish day by day. But when we begin to lift up our hands unashamedly and we begin to worship the Creator, it don't matter what's going on. It don't matter what battle we face. When we begin to worship him, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, and I am thankful tonight to know that he loves me. Amen. I wish some of you were convinced tonight that he loves you. Because when you get convinced of this Jesus, there's nothing else that matters. Amen. And to say to Pastor and to Sister Cross White, I give honor to this evening. Thank you for the confidence in a young man, a young couple, to be able to fill this pulpit for the next few moments in the previous and yet upcoming services. And I am enjoying what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
Amen. And I am thankful to know that he's still in the soul-saving business. It never gets old watching God deliver people. It never gets old watching my God heal people. Amen. Even of things that we thought were taken care of many a year ago. And when the Holy Ghost starts moving, nobody's safe. Amen. He starts pulling things out that we thought we dealt with years ago. He's cutting out the fat, and the Bible says the fat is the Lord's. But when he starts trimming, whoo! Man, we figure out what fat's his and what fat's the world's. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I am going to do something quite different, and I hope it's okay. I'm going to follow the voice of the Holy Ghost tonight, but I've come with a challenge. I don't often do this, but tonight I am going to be obedient to what I feel. And the Holy Ghost, I want everybody in this house to understand that doctrine is still important. Doctrine has not diminished. The necessity of the doctrine in your life should be the utmost important thing. Because if we fall out of love with the doctrine, we're going to miss our first love. And if we miss our first love, then everything else is scattered abroad and nothing else really matters. Your relationship with your family don't matter if you lost the doctrine. Oh God, here we go. If we forsake Him, we have forsook all. Amen. And tonight, I hope this is okay. I'm going to slow down a little bit tonight, and I'm going to try to teach. I feel like we need to have a good Bible class for just a little while. How many of you got your Bible? Why don't you hold it up in the air? My. I'm telling you, this thing right here has been a friend when I was lonely. It's been a road map when I was lost. It's been a sound voice when everything else was going all around. Oh, I wish I had somebody with me right now. When everybody else said, nay, 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 this book's been a friend to me, Oh, I don't know about you, but I still love the Word of God. This Word of God is still more important than the shout. This Word of God is still more important than your emotions. This Word of God is still more popular than your favorite preacher. This Word of God is still more important than your opinion. This Word of God changes not. It's steadfast. It's forever settled. Amen. Going to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55 and verse number 10. And I do say tonight, I honor my pastor, my pastor's wife. I love them. I love their voice in my life. And I'm thankful for a sound voice. Amen. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? Pages turn. Man, that's almost obsolete in churches. Isaiah 55, verse number 10. For the standing of the word, if you would. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. I want everybody to hear me tonight. You can create life. You can. By your reaction to your situation. It matters what comes out of your mouth. Because whatever you entertain in your mind and you allow it to come out, it is what identifies who and what you are. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. Bad information is toxic. Regardless of the channel, regardless of the avenue of where you may receive bad information. Wrong information will eventually poison the whole system. The principal thing of toxicity is it's how pesticides work on plants. It is how the toxicity begins to work in the human body. It gets to the root, it gets to the core of the matter. And whenever there is toxicity within the body, there is a place where it attacks the, if we can say it like this, it attacks every core belief in your life. When toxic information is given, it is now the death of the fruit that was intended to come from the bud. The root system will tell the plants to grow naturally, to grow in time, to grow in season, and then to revert yet again in due season. But toxic levels within the root system, it causes two things to happen. One, it will either cause that plant to grow so rapidly that it doesn't produce the fruit that is intended. Or number two, it will cause the plant to revert into a numb or a vegetable state to where it produces nothing. And when it produces nothing, that plant dies prematurely without the opportunity of growing or the opportunity of being nourished back to health. You and I, my friend, what it does in the church is it causes a church to become in vogue. It causes a church to become just that natural flowing state of what the world wants out of the church. And then the church now identifies with what the world wants, not how the world needs a church. The church now should be the development of what can help a dying world. But if the church is only in vogue, in action, in doctrine, in principle, then my friend, whenever every wind and wave of doctrine comes, we will be moved, as the Bible says. Because the church of today, it don't tell you that it matters what you do. It don't tell you that it matters where you go. It won't tell you that it matters what and who you fellowship with. It only tells us in the outward appearance that the church, that it matters just who you believe in. And that's it. And it stops. Believe on him, accept him as your personal savior. I have an issue with that tonight, because we can say, God, I accept you as my personal savior. But what if he don't accept you? What if there is a sin-ridden life that has no attribute of repentance? It is impossible for God to fill that individual with the Holy Ghost with no repentance. If your pastor preaches anything different, then you revert back to what your pastor teaches. But God will not fill a dirty house. So it matters just in who you believe in. It don't even matter that in what you believe in changes you or it don't change you. It just matters that you profess so you have an identification. And that's it. It don't go no further. It don't get into the root system. It don't change anything at all. And then that's where we begin to ask, why is there so many churches? It's because of the disgruntledness in relationship. Oh, here we go. In relationship, when I allow there to be substitutes, there will be toxicity to enter in, whether through my thoughts or whether through my eyes, my ears, or by what I profess. So many people in the apostolic church are struggling so bad because they want to look the part, they want to be the part, but all they can profess is defeat. That's all we ever hear. Their doctrine has become defeat. I'm not good enough. I'm not popular enough. I don't come from the pedigree background of preachers. I don't look like her. I don't sing like her. I can't do like him, or I can't do like her. So we profess defeat automatically. It's toxicity that flows out of the body, because what you, and I've said it, I'm going to say it a couple times tonight, what you entertain is what you're going to become. Who you fellowship is who you become. If we want righteousness, we have to fellowship righteousness. Toxic information. That's why Brother Main is so hard on social media. Because we will substitute the doctrine. We substitute the doctrine for what we want to hear. be ye a hearer of the word, but not only a doer also. We must have the adaption in our life, or we must adopt principles that is foreign to man. You know what the main principle of doctrine that is foreign to man today, right now? And this is why so many churches are struggling, because it is the adoption of a love for authority. God, authority. I want authority in my life. I should have had a whole lot more amens out of these young folks. I want authority in my life. Because where there's no authority, where there is no direction in the authority, we will always be scattered abroad. Because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Okay. False doctrine. False doctrine, it's... Okay, here we go. False doctrine is so embraced in churches because of the fear of change. I don't want to change. If I have to do A, B, C, and D, then I don't want to go there. I thank God for guardrails. It may not be in this word. It may not be black and white in the Bible. But give me direction. Oh, Jesus. False doctrine. It's identified when I get disgruntled in the church. We think as false doctrine just as being the Trinitarian doctrine. No, my friend. False doctrine is whenever you feel like you are untouchable in the church. You have adopted into that terminology of false doctrine to tell you that you are above what the voice of God is in your life. Oh, Jesus, I knew it was going to be really quiet right now. But in the Bible, there is over 50 times that you will see and you will hear clearly that God deals with very harshly on the obedience to doctrine. Titus 2:1, speak thou those things that become sound doctrine. That Titus 2:10 and part B, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. No substitute. In all things, I want to identify with the doctrine. The gospel writers, they would talk about how everybody was so amazed at the teachings of Jesus. I don't believe it was just in the demonstration of emotionalism. I believe it was in the demonstration of soundness. For in him there is no variableness. The Bible doctrine, it is more powerful than any Reader's Digest that you'll find. It's more powerful than any secret chat rooms or that you'll find. The doctrine is more powerful than your favorite preacher's voice. It's the very substance of my faith. But watch, doctrine must always be distinguished and separated from dogma. Dogma, man's idea about who God is and what God should be. You know what? If I can just do Timmyism 101 tonight, I don't think this book really cares what Tim Maine thinks. It cares that Tim Maine leads. That Tim Maine leads a life that mirrors the book. Because if my life is mirroring anything else besides what glorifies God and what is in this Bible, my friend, then my friend, I have become an adoption of something that is not of him. And in him I have my move and I have my being. But I don't want the doctrine. So we don't want what's in the book, but we want a relationship with him. My friend, it's impossible. Dogma would be man's statement of faith. It would be how man can get to God. That is why the Tower of Babel was nearly really successful. It's because they said, let us go into a city. Let us make us a name. Make us a name. Dogma will always replace God with what self-glorification desires. What you set forth in your communication, it becomes your creed. Because you're going to believe it if you profess it enough. That's why we got people that are losers in the church. It's because that's all they have ever felt like they could ever be. Because maybe mama and daddy was a loser, so I got to be a loser. Mama and daddy wasn't nothing for God, so I ain't going to be nothing for God. That's false doctrine. I'm sorry. That identity in the that identity in the apostolic church, it's old and it needs to get rid of. Because if the Bible is true, if the Bible is final, it said this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice in that. You know, sis, why I get really crazy for Jesus? It's because he gave me one more chance. I got backslidden family members that say I'm radical about Jesus. Well, praise God. I'll be the first one that they call when their babies are sick. It's because I haven't fallen in love with emotionalism. I have fallen in love with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Hey, hallelujah. I believe in the apostolic church, not only our young people, but our adults and elders. You need to adopt the scripture. I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and his death. Because when you fall in love with the doctrine, that means that you have started a place of pure relationship. Hey, hallelujah. Because doctrine will always mirror revelation. You cannot fall in love with the doctrine and stay the same. You cannot fall in love with the Word of God and stay the same you've always been. Yeah. You show me somebody that is struggling to live for God, I'm going to show you somebody that has not fallen in love with the Word and the doctrine. Because it's a two-edged sword, my friend. Hey, it even knows unto the marrow of the bone. It knows the intent of your thought. So you show me somebody on fire for God, I can show you where their relationship is more than likely pure. They have fallen in love with the Word. That's why Bible doctrine becomes so supernaturally powerful. You can walk into a room full of demons and immediately every one of them things, every one of them people, every one of them family members turn and look at you and they start changing the way they talk. They start changing the way they act when they're in your presence. Because spiritual discerns spiritual. But the flesh can't discern the spirit. It's doctrine. There's going to come a time. I want everybody to hear me tonight. There's going to come a time. And I believe we're already there. As the scripture would say, where Apostle Paul, he would prophesy. And he would say, the time will come. When they will not endure. Sound doctor, you know what that tells me? You got to have a backbone to live this thing. You don't endure something without having a backbone. Well, okay. There become a time when they don't endure sound doctrine. You know, it says endure until the end. Run the race with patience. Forward motion. You're not going to show me somebody that's backslidden that has not already got to the place, my friend, where they have not endured sound doctrine. There's an embrace of the voices that calls there to be the confusing parts of God. Many churches, they reject doctrinal teaching because they say it's old school. They say it's harsh. They say it's dogmatic. They say that hard Bible preaching is irrelevant. But they want more smoke machines. They want more light machines. They want more emotionalism and less of God's relationship. It's like there's an old song, "Move Me With Your Message," once again. But we have flipped that "Move Me With the Beat of a Drum" again. Dim the lights a little bit more. We got churches that are so dark inside that you ask them for a minute and you don't know if they pulled it out of their mouth or their pocket. That's why I'm not going to any dark lit churches. Because I'm fat and I'm always asking for candy and stuff. I got to be careful. Woo! Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness.
Yes.
But denying the power thereof. When you get to the place of relationship in the doctrine, it causes you to have a desire to be holy.
Yes.
I don't believe it should have to be preached every service.
Right.
Oh God. We should have a relationship doctrinally so strong that every day we look in that mirror and we say, God, I want to be a reflection of you today. There's three definitions of doctrine. Doctrine's like yeast. Yeast, it will work silently and secretly. The yeast will now, I want everybody to pay attention. This is why it matters who you fellowship. Let me help somebody real quick. We just got out of Christmas season, Thanksgiving season, and we go around even our family. I want somebody to hear me. I keep feeling this. I have felt it since I was here Sunday. Don't you dare let your family that does not live for God influence how you view your relationship with God. When I get around my family and we're on vacation, I don't go to some of the places they go to.
That's right.
Just because we go on vacation does not mean that Timmy leaves religion at home. When they go on the back patio, when they're doing certain things, Tim Maine's not on the back patio. Because doctrine is like yeast. Just like what you entertain is like yeast. What you entertain is what's going to grow. The doctrine says it will work really, really slow. But when we let a little bit of that stuff get inside of us, whether it's of God or whether it's of the devil, when we start entertaining little bits of it, I'm either going to grow in God or I'm going to grow away from God. Yeah, amen. So it's like that lump of dough. When there's a little bit of yeast in there, it's affecting the whole thing. That's why when you show up to church and your attitude stinks to high heavens, you better watch who you sit by. That's right, what you finna do? He done said he finna pop them. It matters. It matters, my friend, that you live for God in character and in ethics. Because in character and ethics, it better mirror the doctrine. This old time religion still works, my friend. Amen. Doctrine, it's like the wind. False doctrine's going to uproot a lot of people that sit beside us. When them winds start blowing, when that disgruntledness starts flowing through the church, and you start looking for other churches to accept your attitude and your unfaithfulness, They're going to accept you, but don't you expect it to change. This is the scariest thing in the world, Pastor Crosswhite, is when we get to heaven or when we get to judgment, whatever, if I can just paint a picture and we're up there and we're knocking on the door, we're beating that door to death, let me in. I don't think Jesus is going to say, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I believe in shaving, so anyhow, never mind. Let me go ahead. So it simply said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity.
Amen.
I never knew you. Oh, man, here we go. So the scariest thing in life is for me to live my life on the ragged edges of acceptance.
There you go.
I want to know without a doubt in my mind. I may be radical. I may be a little bit more strict in areas than some people. But if that's what it takes for Tim Main to make heaven, I'm not going to judge anybody else because I'm worried about this old boy. Yeah. I'm worried about me making heaven. Because when them strong winds begin to blow, and I got voices that I'm entertaining that I know I shouldn't be entertaining. Because when I'm entertaining them voices, it's not lining up. Oh, okay. It's not lining up. Some of y'all's gonna get mad tonight, but I'll buy y'all chili dogs or something one of these nights. Amen. But true doctrine, it affects every aspect of life.
Yes.
True doctrine is what causes my backslidden brother that likes Scientology to call me and say, you have something I can't get. My brother called me one day, Brother Crosswhite, and he said, you know, you're a hypocrite. Started running me down, brother. I said, all right, Jimmy, I love you. My name's Timmy, his is Jimmy. Okay? I said, I love you, Jimmy. I said, you backslid. I said, and you know that. I said, you know God loves you more than what you will ever understand. He said, you can't prove that to me in the Bible. I said, well, the Bible really don't even matter to you, so I'm not going to debate it with you. Okay? I don't mess with stupid people. I don't mess with dumb people. Okay? If everybody just wants to cause contention about the Bible, I ain't got time for you. I'm not going to waste my pearls among pigs. So my brother, he's tearing me up. I just got done. I was up there preaching a little youth deal. And I don't get asked to preach many youth deals. They don't like me anyhow, okay? So he said we was eating dinner just a little bit before that. And he asked me, he said, how's things going? I said, man, we had great church last night. So I think we had like three or four get the Holy Ghost. And he said, I don't want to hear none of that trash. I said, well, how you doing then? And he started telling me about all his failures and, you know, just a mess. And just how life was so bad and how Jesus don't love him and how bad his life was. I said, well, man, that's great. My life's great. I mean, living for God's great, man. I said, he's like, but they got to wear skirts. You wear long sleeves all the time. You do this. You don't go here. I said, man, I said, you know what? I said, it's not because I can. It's because I choose not to. You don't have to wear skirts. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. But I want the doctrine. I want it to be alive in me. So he called me. It was I flew back home. This was up in Kentucky. I flew back home and he calls me and he said, hey, Timmy, you could tell he had been crying. I was like, what's wrong with you? He said, Bellamy's sick. That's his daughter. I said, man, that's a shame. Your science can't heal her. I'm telling y'all, I don't fool around with my family, okay? Because my family knew me when I was a failure. My family seen me when I was high on drugs. Night before I got the Holy Ghost, I was snorting cocaine as a 17-year-old young man. My family seen me at my worst. And when I started living for God, my family, they gave me the biggest mess. There was church people that didn't give me that big of a time. I said, science can't heal your daughter? He hung up on me. I don't know why he hung up, but I guess I was rude. Virginia's his wife, she called me and she said, "Why Jimmy so mad at you? He's crying." I said, "I don't know. I guess he's a baby." In reality, me and Jimmy are very, very close. We're way different, though. But God's going to save my brother because I'm... Okay, so I called Jimmy back and I said, "Let's pray for your daughter." I said, "But you're going to start out in prayer." I said, "I don't know how you pray at a Scientology church. I don't know if you start... I don't know. Formulas, the periodic table or something. Let's pick a random number and throw it out there. I don't know how they pray. Whatever. This might be live. And if you're Scientology, I invite you to church Thursday. Come on." So he said, "I don't feel comfortable doing that." I said, "Put your hand on your daughter." And he said, "Okay." I said, "You got a little bit of oil?" He said, "Man, all I got is some cooking oil." I said, I don't care what it is. And he said, "It's peanut oil." I said, "Go get the peanut oil." I said, "You're going to anoint your daughter and you're going to pray for her like I was standing." Like I was standing right there with her. Because I don't want to just be apostolic in voice. I want to be apostolic in doctrine. Hold on. But beyond just doctrine, I want to be apostolic in action. Yeah. So some of y'all, this is already twisting your theology. You're going to lead a prayer and your backslidden Scientology brother is going to anoint his daughter and you're going to pray. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If God will use a donkey, he'll use my brother. We was on FaceTime. This shows y'all how harsh I really am, okay? So he didn't buy me a Christmas present that year, y'all. So I'm on FaceTime. Virginia, his wife, is holding it. And brother, he put more oil on that baby than what we put on our normal people. We believe God's going to heal the cancer baby. He baptized that baby like he's dedicating her soul. I even said, "Jimmy, it don't take all that oil, brother. You might turn Pentecostal and you might need to cook something to eat afterwards. Watch out." So he reached out and he put his hand on her shoulder. I said, "Put your hand on her head." And you can feel the Holy Ghost drop. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I said, whatever this heart murmur is, whatever this shatalabokosa, whatever this blood disease is, because the doctrine works, my friend, even when people don't believe it. Because he took Bellamy to the doctor 2 or 3 days later. They started running blood tests. And let me tell you something. My backslidden brother, he was praying for his little baby that didn't know nothing. My brother knows right and wrong. That baby don't know right and wrong. When he laid his head on her, I said, "Jimmy, I want you to say in the name of Jesus." And he said, "In Jesus' name." And when he called me with that testimony, I said, "Jimmy, it's the doctrine that still saves. It's the doctrine that still heals." And let me testify for a moment. My brother hasn't been back to that goofy church. But when I seen my brother just 2 months ago, I said, "Jimmy, how you doing?" He said, "Things are changing, Timmy." I said, "What's changing?" He said, "My marriage is getting better." He said, "My relationship with my family's getting better." And he said, "I'm telling you something that I've done." He said, "You mailed me a Bible." He said, "We read it every night." So when the doctrine is like wind, you better identify what you're fellowshipping with. Don't you ever get intimidated when you can stand on the word. Because this word will not return void.
that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro.
Right.
And carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men. Cunning craftiness. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Boy, I feel the Holy. Somebody needs to hear me. I'm going to tell one of you right now. I don't know which. Look at me, sister in the pink. I don't know which one of you three. There's family that's questioning you selling out to God. You better live the way you know for God. And you watch God send revival to your family. Hold on. So, look at me, sister in the lavender. You're tired of people talking about you trying to live for God. It's about to stop. God's going to send revival. Even to the one, look at me, to the ones that are naysaying. Because you have a desire to stand on the doctrine. Don't you be weary in well doing, sis. You can say, I wish I had a church that believed it tonight. Hey! In the name of Jesus, let them talk. Let them act like fools. Look at me, sister in the pink. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at, tap her on the shoulder or something. Look at me, sis. Hey, quit going to bed stressing over whether your family's accepting you or not. You, hey, look at me. You live for God the way you desire. And God's going to make the difference. Some of them have already said, if you're going to live for God, then I don't want much to do with you. Then baby, you let the dead bury the dead, and you watch God rise you to, hey, you watch God lift you above everything. Hold on, look at me again. Rachel, look at me. The sacrifices that you are making to live for God, it's not going unnoticed. And they're even saying you are foolish. You watch God elevate you. Don't worry about it. Brother Maine, you don't know what I'm giving up. You don't know what you're fixing to gain. Since the dreams that you've been having are working for God, and there's times where you hear foreign languages, you watch God develop things in you. You watch God fulfill desires. Brother Maine, I don't know how I would ever get to that place. You watch God do it, sis. God can turn you into the greatest missionary the apostolic church has ever known. It's not by might. Look at me. It's not by might. It's not about your strength. It's not about your power. It is about His Spirit. And as long as you stay alive and well in the Holy Ghost, then there is nothing that you can do for God. Because when you fall in love with the doctrine, I wish I had somebody to rejoice with them. Come on, sis, if you believe it tonight, why don't you run the aisles with them, Rachel? Why don't you kind of dance for the Lord? Come on, don't let them do it by themselves. Come on, ladies. Come on, men. You might as well rejoice in the Lord, for the Lord is my strength. He's my shield. He's my buckler. It's the doctrine. It's the doctrine. It's the doctrine. It's the doctrine that matters. Hallelujah. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall descend as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Watch, Habakkuk. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
As the waters cover the sea. You know what that tells me? That tells me one big powerful thing. God cares about us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rebecca, God's making a river in the middle of a desert. When I read that scripture, I looked over at you, and it's like I can see your hands rubbing together. You're worried all the time. You're frustrated. You're stressed out. And you... That may not seem like much to y'all, but this baby's been going to bed and there ain't been no peace. Y'all think she has it all together and she feels like she's falling apart. And she ain't told nobody in this church that. Look at me, you ain't alone. You hear me? You ain't alone. You're valuable. You mean something to God. God's fixing to prove it to you. Rachel, hey, what's her name? Rebecca. God, you mean something. Is your name Rebecca? Cool, I'm glad your name's Rebecca. You watch it happen. It's going to be speedily. Because you said within the last week, I don't know how much more I can take. And God heard it.
Sorry.
I ain't talked to you at all. I don't know you. I had to ask him y'all's name because I don't know y'all's names. I'm intimidated because y'all's taller than me. Lift your hands and love on Jesus. That's the doctrine. There was ever a time that the church needed to fall in love with a doctrine. It's right now. Right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not, hey, if you're waiting on Sunday to come, my friend, you're waiting too late. The doctrine, it matters now. The development of the love of the doctrine matters now. Amen. Because the doctrine's going to make the eternal difference. What you profess and what you believe, it's going to make all the difference of where you end up. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you better hear me. This is the word. This ain't Timmy's opinion. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and those that hear them. Doctrine demands purity. You can't go around acting like a fool in your mind and in your actions and expect God to honor them things.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Talk to us.
All you adults can read between the lines. Doctrine demands purity, so you just can't run around doing what you want to do.
Right.
You want to be a reflection of Christ, and you got to be a reflection of the umbrella. Because our true test of purity and doctrine will come at the loneliest times of your life.
That's it.
In the decision that you make from there, young person, you better hear Tim Main right now. You better fall in love with the doctrine so strong. I don't care how good looking he is. I don't care how strong he is. I don't care what his last name is. I don't care if his daddy's a preacher. I don't care if they got the biggest church. Or no, hold on. I don't care if they got the biggest church in town. I don't care if she's driving a Lexus. I don't care if her daddy's got all the money in the world, young man. You better fall in love with the doctrine so strong that whenever something has appeared before you, you say no.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it will happen if you don't fall in love with the doctrine. Doctrine demands love. Creating me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. Because if you are not in love with Jesus, then there will be no place of repentance.
Right. Right.
Doctrine demands love. And that love begins at an altar of repentance. Doctrine demands obedience. Doctrine demands obedience. For a man to know to do right, and he don't do it. They don't say he gets a get out of jail free card. He ain't getting no pass go get $200 or whatever. It's entertaining the wrong thing. Closing right now. I give you good doctrine. Everybody hear me. If you're playing on your cell phone right now, or if you're doing anything else, if you're chewing bubble gum so loud that you can't hear Tim Main right now, I want you to quit chewing your bubble gum. Listen to me. This is in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I'll buy you one. Okay, I mean that. For I give you good doctrine. Then the next five words should be the most challenging thing that you hear. If I could title this tonight, I would title it the most dangerous message ever preached. Forsake not my law. It matters, folks. I don't care how young you are, sis. An elder, I don't care how old you are. Doctrine still matters.
Yes.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thine getting. Get understanding. You should know why you live like you. You should know why you can rejoice over guardrails put in your life. I thank God for the worship ushers me into the place of relationship. But the doctrine's going to save my soul. Every eye in this building closed, if you would, hands lifted. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed
from the heart. That form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, being then me made free from sin. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, God be thanked. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. This is the doctrine. Are you where you need to be tonight? Are you where you desire to be tonight? Only you can answer that. It's the most dangerous message that'll ever be preached. Look at me, everybody. Look me in the face. Look me in the face. Because now you have no excuse. Everybody, you have no excuse to not live for God. None. Zero. It's the most dangerous message ever preached, because when you get to that door one day and you're knocking on that door and you stand before Him, there's no way you can look Him in the eyes and say, God, I never knew. But tonight, it's not about emotionalism. It's about you searching your heart right now before you leave these double doors. Not Thursday and not Sunday. Not future services. Right now. You're accountable. Look at me. I'm pointing at you. Pointing at everybody in this house. Me. I'm accountable. For it is profitable unto you. See your pastor. Got a bunch of people here tonight that don't even know if he's your pastor or not. Glad I taught on doctrine. Jesus, have mercy. Is it your pastor? The Bible says it's profitable for you. For you. That he gives a good report for you. He can preach it. He can belabor it. But you got to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
I'm done. What you do with it tonight is up to you. Do you got it deep inside like you really desire? And if that answer is questionable, or yes, maybe no, I don't know, Tim. Maybe we just need to find a place to say, God, help me to fall in love with the doctrine.
Give me the
clear to me. It's your word. It's your word, God. Oh, God, God. It's your word, God. It's your word. Give me the word. Make it plain and clear to me. The word, it's a light that I might see. Give me the word, it's for total victory over every situation. Give me the word.
Give me the word. Oh, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
that I might see. Give me the word. It's for total victory over every situation. Give me the word. Give me the word. Make it plain and clear to me. Give me the word. It's a light that I might see. Give me the word. It's for total victory over every situation. Give me the word. Give me the word. Make it plain. Show me your power.